I'm Jason Gay, and it's time for three stories you should know. On Thursday night, the NFL returned. All right, let's be honest. The NFL never really goes away. But the 2019 regular season began, and this week we're going to begin by talking about one team that people are getting a little too excited about. I'm joined by the Toronto-based sports writer Shireen Ahmed via Skype and by New York Magazine contributing editor Will Leach. Welcome back to both of you.
Hello.
An honor as always, sir.
All right, gang, you know that I'm a upbeat person who likes positivity in sports. I just want to cool the engine on a bit of hype that's truly getting out of hand. And I mean the 2019 Super Bowl champion Cleveland Browns. I mean, come on, it is getting crazy. Do you realize Las Vegas right now is a wash in big money on the Cleveland Browns? Many millions have been ventured on Cleveland's playoff dreams and more. You know, I believe Will, who's an otherwise reasonable guy, has sunk his children's entire college fund into a Cleveland Browns Super Bowl bet. Folks, I get the enthusiasm. I get that they're a good story. They have fun players like Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. and Cleveland, one of the great sports towns on planet Earth. But this team has not made the playoffs in 17 seasons. Let's get there first and hold off on Super Bowl reservations in South Florida for now. What do you guys think? Will?
Well, first off, you're making me feel very nervous about my 2019 Cleveland Browns facial tattoo that I got yesterday. I guess in retrospect, even if they had one, that's still probably a bad idea for a tattoo. I have to say, I'm not quite with you on this. This is excitement, right? Like, to me, once the Cubs won the World Series, and by the way, this is where this Cardinal fan reminds you that we spent our entire lives saying, if the Cubs win the World Series, the world's going to end. And it ended like a week later, by the way, just to remind everyone. But nevertheless, the Browns story is probably the next big thing, right? The Browns winning the Super Bowl is probably the NFL's equivalent of the Cubs winning the World Series. Cardinal fans might not have liked it when the Cubs win the World Series, but I guarantee you baseball did. They loved it. That's a huge story. Never minding the fact that the Browns have all of these great personalities. Baker Mayfield is like, it's fun to have like a good trolling quarterback, and Odell Beckham drives everybody insane. And even Nick Chubb, like, they even have a likable, if you have no one else to root for Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb is really likable. This Browns team has all of the things you want from a football team: individual personalities, longstanding pain, and the possibility that the pain could only get worse. This is exactly the type of story you want to sign on for. So whether they win the Super Bowl or they don't win the Super Bowl, this seems to me the kind of the entry point for the NFL this year.
Okay, this is unexpected, but I'm going to say that, you know, my bar for appreciating NFL teams is really low. They're named after original coach and owner. They're not an offensive indigenous mascot. Their owner is not horrific in their outward racism. So let's just pause for a minute. I'm also quite appreciative of teams that people might not think would make it. Cue my amplification of the 2019 NBA champions, the Toronto Raptors. Nobody thought they could win, and people cashed in on that. So I'm kind of a supporter of the underdog. Will, I will add $10 to your facial tattoo fee. Part of sports is things happening that we don't expect. So I like low expectations from teams like Cleveland. And, you know, it's not the most phenomenal city in the United States, but my bar is sort of like, are they really as offensive as everybody else? And if not, I might root for them at some point.
I appreciate you chipping in for that, because currently it only says Clev Brow. I didn't get the second half of it finished. So thank you for helping me out with that.
All right, Shireen, it's your turn, and it's a low bar to clear.
Tennis. Who would have thought it would bring us so much joy? Bianca Andreescu, who's actually from my city of Mississauga, the 19-year-old tennis phenom from Canada. Yes, I said Canada. We all know that Canadians are very nice people, our abouts, our sorries, our donuts. I think it's really important to remember that sport is still very intense. And when you see friendship and sisterhood emerge on the court, actually at the Canadian Open, the Rogers Cup, of Bianca Andreescu going up to Serena. Serena had to withdraw, and her sort of saying, you know, I love you, you're an effing legend, is so important because it sets a stage for something. And what it set a stage for was later when Coco Gauff, the 15-year-old phenom, was beaten up by Naomi Osaka. We saw that again. We saw a repetition of that type of sisterhood, the camaraderie that we don't often get enough of in sports. Like, we love it. We don't get enough of it. And I will thank Canada for this. I think Canada is the catalyst for everything wonderful. So thank you, tennis. I've never really paid attention until now, but thank you.
Well, what do you think? Do you like seeing tennis players want to, like, strangle each other across the net, like old school Ilya Nastasi style? Or do you like this? Do you like the hug it out 2019 tennis?
I don't know why we can't have both. To me, the great quote that Coco had after her, the thing that Steve Kerr quoted, "For me, the definition of an athlete is someone who on the court treats you like your worst enemy, but off the court can be your best friend." To me, that's what I kind of love of this. As Kerr noted, like he said, this is the essence of competition, and she had it figured out at 15, and he was 35 before it finally hit him. But I think what's great is you're having these very charismatic, very outgoing, and just very like exciting to watch players kind of showing this on the grand stage. And it's not fake. You know, to me, so much of sportsmanship has always been tied in some sort of performative aspect. And the idea you shake hands afterwards, but then you grumble later and you show class. This is what actual sportsmanship is. And for me, that's very exciting to see.
And there's something about tennis, the fact that it is a solo sport, an individual sport. It can be a lonely lifestyle. I am just struck by the maturity. You look at somebody like Coco Gauff. When I was 15 years old, all I want to do is like drink beer in the woods. Like the idea that like somehow I could just be this ambassador for sportsmanship, not to mention a massive talent who I would bet you anything, including a face tattoo on Will's forehead, is going to win a whole bunch of majors. I'm just gobsmacked by how just they have it all together at such an early age. Because, you know, tennis has a bad tradition of, you know, early burnout, some real like bad behavior. This is not the case now.
And what I really appreciated too is Naomi Osaka is in her early 20s. And for her to mentor Coco Gauff like that and then pay heed to Coco's parents, like I was crying. I was like sobbing into my hijab with emotion because I really was moved by that respect, that deference. And, you know, Naomi Osaka being so young as well, I want more of that. Like I like my anger and my hostility in my hockey, but tennis, I will take this. And particularly when it amplifies women of color this way, where tennis has been a traditionally white sport. So it's also refreshing on many levels to see that. Like we can be like 15-year-old Coco Gauff. We don't all have to just think about drinking in the woods, even though that's okay.
By the way, when I was 21, I was also thinking about drinking beer in the woods. Will, we're going to go to you and your tattoo artist. What do you got for us?
In the spirit of Coco and competition, I am going to waste your topics, you two. You guys are going down. I know we've been talking about Andrew Luck a lot over the last couple of weeks, and with good reason. I still have not quite shaken the fan reaction to Andrew Luck coming off the field. The fact is, Colts fans booed Andrew Luck. When you unpack that for a moment, realize that like the Indianapolis Colts have been terrible for 9 years in every other aspect other than Andrew Luck. He ran away because he didn't want to hurt himself in this game anymore. And it felt like a Rubicon cross to me to see the way that Luck was treated by his hometown fans. There's a sense of entitlement to it. I think fantasy sports has had a lot to this. We've always understood that players are different and it's not a one-on-one back and forth relationship. But now I think that's curdled into something. You also saw this with Djokovic when he was booed when he retired from the U.S. Open. There's something now about not just these athletes are separate than us, but they owe us. And if they don't give us what I want, they are not people. They are just no longer providing me entertainment. And as someone that's generally a big fan of fans, as someone that's a fan myself, it felt like something particularly ugly happening, and I still haven't quite shaken it.
Yeah, I like what Will said about entitlement. The fan reaction was really disappointing for me because, like, I mean, I think of Indiana as generally, like, you know, with their football teams, a pretty nice place. It was my favorite episode of Parks and Rec was the one that he was on it. And I don't even know if it's the majority of fans. I hope not. And I don't think it was. But I think we need to start looking at sports sometimes a little more profoundly. And those fans, like, you got such a big will and a big mouth. You go take a spot.
I like this. I like this very much, the idea of bringing a fan down to quarterback the Indianapolis Colts. I think this is fantastic.
Well, the WNBA does it. When men start saying, oh, I can take this person out. I played, you know, recreational pickup in college. Yeah, we've seen that happen. I think this should happen on the football field.
I love it. Because I'm just a virtuoso radio host now, I'm going to take what Will talked about and Shireen talked about and combine them, because there is a person in sports who is harnessing this crazy fan energy that's out there, and his name is Daniil Medvedev. He is a Russian tennis player. He is 23 years old, and he has done something I frankly have not seen in sports, which is to take fan anger and channel it into something that looks like a combination of professional tennis and the WWE. I don't know if you've caught any of his matches. I mean, this is a guy who is taking all this anger and repurposing it and raising his profile and his game. It's sublime to watch, and I applaud him for it. He's a new model for the 21st century athlete.
I still don't think he should have hit his opponent with that chair.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been the Toronto-based sports writer Shireen Ahmed, also the co-host of the Burn It All Down podcast. Shireen was available via Skype and via conch shell. New York Magazine contributing editor Will Leach, thanks to both of you. And please don't put all your money on the Browns.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.